Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Glory to God. Well, today we're going to do a message that I've entitled The Power of the Cross. Actually, we've been doing over the last few weeks a three-part series, Easter series. First, we began a message, The Bait of Satan. And then last week, we had a message, Truly, This Was the Son of God. And we'll culminate everything today in its finality with The Power of the Cross. And the purpose of this message to provide a deeper revelation and understanding actually of the power of the cross. Amen. Now we know he's alive, but something happened. God had to do something, hallelujah, to produce this freedom that we talked about for you and I, and has everything to do with the cross. Open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and beginning with verse 18. I'm going to actually be reading this from the Passion Translation. So it says, to preach the message of the cross seems like sheer nonsense to those who are on their way to destruction. But to us who are on our way to salvation, it is the mighty power of God released within us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this mighty power of God that's being released in us today through the revelation of the power of the cross. May it ever be, never be so as much clear as it is today in us, so that we walked in the victory that you won for us and help others to do the same. Thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear today, so that every life can be touched and changed by the power of God. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Now draw your attention here to the red on the screen where it says the message of the cross is the mighty power of God. Amen. The message of the cross is the mighty power of God because it communicates, it reveals God's plan of saving mankind. Both the means of it and actually the one in which it will be fulfilled in, and that is actually Jesus Christ himself. Notice how the message addresses here two groups of people, one of which every one of us will find ourselves in. There's two groups of people that this message speaks to, it says, which includes everyone. Once again, we will find ourselves in one of these two groups. Amen. First, those who understand and receive the message of the cross. For them, it becomes the way of salvation as God's mighty power is released in them. We find this in 1 Corinthians, this same chapter, in verse 21. It says like this, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says, for in his wisdom, God designed that all the world's wisdom would be insufficient to lead people to the discovery of himself. He took great delight in baffling the wisdom of the world by using the simplicity of preaching the story of the cross in order to save those who would believe it. Amen. Notice, for those that understand and receive the message of the cross is the first group of people. For them, it becomes the means or the way of salvation as God's mighty power is released in them. Amen. Notice, then there's a second group of people. And those are those that do not understand and reject the message of the cross, which results, as 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 says, it results in a way of destruction of their lives. Now we find this as well in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3 and 4. I'm going to be reading once again from the Passion Translation, and it says this: "For even if our gospel message is veiled, it is only veiled to those who are perishing. For their minds have been blinded by the god of this age." How many know that's Satan? That's Satan. "Leaving them in unbelief. Their blindness keeps them from seeing the dayspring light of the wonderful news of the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the divine image of God." Notice the first group of people, God enlightens. The second group, Satan blinds. We're one in one group or the other. God enlightens us through the message of the cross, and Satan comes to work to blind us of its truth and its power, keeping us from seeing what God has done through the power of the cross, lest we be saved. Now I'm going to invite you to turn to I'm going to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 6 through 8 in the Passion Translation, where it reveals another important truth about the message and the power of the cross. It says, "However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned." That's talking about Satan and evil spirits. Amen. And the people that are actually influenced by those spirits. Verse 7, please. It goes, "Instead, we continue to speak of this wisdom, this wonderful wisdom that comes from God. Hidden before, now in a mystery. It is God's secret plan, destined before the ages to bring us unto glory." Verse 8, it says, "None of the rulers of this present world," that is talking about Satan and his evil spirits and those that are controlled by them. Notice, none of the rulers of this present world system order understands it. "For if they had, they would have never crucified the Lord of shining glory." Amen. Now notice here that this portion of Scripture speaks, track with me please, this talks of God's secret plan, which is called redemption. If you are a member of this church, you're no stranger to all the messages in this phrase, God's great plan of redemption. Redemption is important because redemption means the price paid to purchase or to ransom or to buy back. In other words, it's literally a price paid to set a slave free. That's what redeem means. That's what redemption means. And this is what God did for you and I. This lets us know that God's great plan of redemption was His secret plan. It answers two questions. Who was going to be redeemed? The answer is you and I, mankind. And secondly, the answer is why. The reason why that must happen is because the fall of man and the sin that came and entered into this earth when man's original falling, or the man committed sin or high treason against God there in the garden. The fall of man was the result, and God intervene by having a great plan. God the Father planned a plan. It's called redemption. God the Son executed. He came. He stepped. The second person of the Godhead stepped out of heaven and became a man to execute the plan. And the Holy Spirit is the great revealer of the plan, who's actually sent today to be a teacher and a helper and the revealer of this truth, of the truths that are recorded in the Word of God, because He is the author of this book called the Bible, and He is the revealer of that great plan. Amen. And so Jesus' life and ministry on earth took Him to the cross, which looked like, to the natural eye, utter defeat. But actually, God had hidden in it the very means for mankind's redemption, resulting in its salvation. notice how the scripture says here that if Satan and the evil spirits had known the plan of God, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They thought as he was going to be crucified, they ended all hope that mankind would have, because the King of glory was going to die. But God's plan of redemption was it must be in order to redeem mankind. And it says if the devil had known God's great plan, he would have never crucified the King of glory. Because at the cross, God dealt with the tyrannical powers of Satan over fallen man through the death of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for man's sin, disobedience, and rebellion against God. All the debt of sin man owed, Jesus Christ gave his life to pay it and to free us. Therefore, the message of the cross is one of redemption, one of forgiveness, and one of victory. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 illustrates this so clearly. Once again, I'll be reading it from the Passion Translation. It says, he has rescued, talking about Jesus, he has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled. Everybody say canceled. All our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. Amen. So what we find is the cross is the precious symbol. You know, many times people wear crosses, and it is a precious symbol of the price that was paid by Jesus in his death upon it for our sins. Yes, the message of the cross is one of redemption, one of forgiveness, one of freedom and victory, but it is also one of justice and one of love. Everybody say of justice and of love. It is one also of justice and of love. It's only when we understand that the reason Jesus came was to redeem mankind, to actually seek and to save that which was lost, and to restore fallen mankind back to the Father, that the cross makes any sense at all. The cross becomes the means to the end, which is salvation for you and I. So the cross is a place of both love and justice. And we're going to talk about that today as we wind this message up. Amen. First, we're going to talk about the cross is a place of love. Here's a familiar portion of Scripture in John 3:16. This time, we're going to read verses 16 and 17, John 3, from the Passion Translation. It says, for this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it. Everybody say, thank God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, in the Passion Translation says it like this, and this is how we discovered love's reality. Jesus sacrificed his love for us. Think about it. If you want to know what love's reality is, we have to look no further than the sacrifice of Jesus' life for you and I. Amen. And then in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 8, we find again the cross is a place that demonstrates God's great love for all of mankind. In verse 6, Passion Translation again, it says, for when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Notice, that's who we were and who we are outside of Christ. Verse 8 goes on to say, but Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. One translation says, Christ died for those who could care less about a loving God. Think about it like this. All of us at one time in our life, or at least, let me say it like this, the good majority of us, many of you here today sit in this place and you know as a believer in Jesus Christ that your sins have been forgiven. You have been pardoned. But you many times you fail to remember that how before you even acknowledge Christ, when you used His name in vain, when you stole, when you lied, when you cheated, when you actually did those things, you, hallelujah, were the one that was actually, Christ came to pay the price and die for your sins and pay the price for those sins. You use that name, the name above every name, the name very now that you're called by, the name of Jesus Christ, you might have used in vain. And yet God did not stop from coming to save us. That shows the great love that God, while we were still lost and ungodly, He came and died for a world who could care less about a loving God. That's God's love. God reminds us of that today. He did not stop because He saw obviously something in us that we could not see in ourselves. Even in our fallen state, we were originally created in the likeness of the image of God. And for God sending His Son, He let us know He didn't die to make us valuable to Him. He paid the price that we were worth, the very death of His Son. Now today, we also know this, that so the cross is a place of His love, but I want us to think about this. The cross was also a place of justice. I want you to pay very close attention to what I'm about to tell you today. Because many times, and we should rejoice over His love, but we must understand God's justice. This place of justice is where the demands of justice by a righteous and holy God were totally met and paid for. Not by you, but by Him. For you see, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross demonstrated God's love, but also His great justice. One person said it like this, our first understanding of God's nature and character, that means who God really is, should be with His justice and not with His love. Yes, we must understand that He is love, but He's also just and righteous and a holy God. For before we ask for help of God, we must first know that we are in need of help. Before we seek righteousness, we must first understand that outside of Christ, we are all sinners and are lost. And Billy Graham may have said it best. He said it like this, before you can get someone saved, you must get them to see that they are lost. Because without seeing that you're lost, why is being saved even an attraction? For it is only when you understand that your sins separate you from God and that you are dead in your sins and lost, that you need a Savior, and that you need a Savior, then and then only does what Christ did and Him coming make any sense. But the Scriptures are very clear on this matter. Many people may be very confused about their standing before God, but God makes it very clear. Because as a righteous and a holy God, only righteousness and holiness can approach God. So God was in a predicament. God loved man, but man's sin had separated man from God. So God was going to do the unthinkable. He would come Himself and pay the price to break down the barrier of sin that built up a wall that separated us from a holy God. The unholy could not come before the holy. So God had to do something to make the unholy holy, to make the one that was separated from him to come to him, the one that was unrighteous to be righteous, the one that was lost that could be saved. And that was his plan. The scripture makes it clear why we must come to him. Because in Romans chapter 3, think of this. It says in verse 10, I'll go through this pretty quick. There is none righteous, no, not one. In other words, the Bible lets us know in here today that our good works cannot save us. You know, many times there's people that flood the church on a day like today, and many people, without hearing what God's word says concerning this, just consider their way to God through their own method. Their way to God through their own self-righteousness, their own good works. But how many know that there is, in the sight of God, there is none righteous, no, not one. Why? Because the next verse says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is why our good works cannot save us. You can do all the good things, but you cannot make yourself right with God. You must come God's way, and as sin separates us, either you pay for your sin or you take God's substitute. Amen. And this is the power of the cross. This is the story of the great plan of redemption. And this is what I'm revealing for us today. Last but not least, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the first half of this verse, maybe one of the most familiar scriptures for many people in the Bible. We will finish today with this whole verse in the last half of it. But for right now, we'll look at the first half of it. It says, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, the wages means the payment of our sin is death. That is spiritual death. So when man sinned against God, he actually died spiritually. That separation from God. But here's what we need to understand, that God used the cross as a means of justice. Now, I want you to listen to me very close. God used the cross as a means of justice. In other words, here's what we need to understand. Crucifixion was the lowest, most humiliating, debasing, shameful, and painful method of death reserved only for the worst criminals. 700 years before Christ came, Isaiah prophesied and told us what he would come, the Savior would come, how he would die on a cross, what that would look like, and what that would provide for us. Let us be reminded that yes, this does illustrate God's love, but he had to do it because the crucifixion or the cross was a means of God's justice. In Isaiah 52, verse 14, here's what it says. It says, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that any human being, and his form more marred beyond human likeness. This scripture lets us know that the punishment of crucifixion that was laid upon Christ was so severe that those that saw him, he was marred beyond recognition. He did this willingly for you and I. He did this to the very price for our sins. And by doing so, the justice of God was met. We find in Isaiah 53 in verses 3 through 6 what happened and transpired further. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised. We held him in low esteem. Now notice the rest of the verses. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, O God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and with his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is describing what, Pastor? This was God's justice being served on Jesus Christ. So the cross wasn't just a place of love, but a place where the demands of justice was actually met. A place where the Son of God was punished as a sacrifice for our sin. Is a place where the innocent was punished for the guilty, you and I. A place where the price for sin was paid in full, and man's debt of sin was forever canceled. Maybe possibly one of the greatest portions of Scripture that illustrates this so clearly is in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. As it says, he canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, as sins, as stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Ha ha, they're lost. They're gone forever. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. And then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away, this is what he did in his resurrection, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, he led them around as prisoners in possession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. Glory to God. This is the power of the cross. And this is why, through our understanding of God's justice first, that his great love for us is revealed even more clearly. This is how the message of the cross, or we could say this is how the power of the cross shows us God's way of salvation. And this is why Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, as you well know, many of you, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. It is only because of his holy sacrifice that man can lose his sin and become holy as Christ was, and now be presented, hallelujah, without spot and wrinkle before a sinless and a holy God. How he, the sinless, spotless Son of God, took our sin, took our shame, and bore it away on the cross, so that we, the guilty, could become like the innocent, so that we could too experience God's salvation and be right with Almighty God. And it is only by an acceptance of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, it is us by us receiving him as a Lord and Savior, that we are saved from our sins. For those who make him Lord and Savior will forever see him face to face. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And everyone that's called on the name of the Lord, when they draw their last breath, they'll enter into glory and they'll see the King of glory face to face. And today we celebrate why we will see him. Because not in that grave. He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive. He is risen. And he is the risen King and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. I remind us as well that in heaven, forever we will be shown the marks on his body to remind us of both of God's justice and love and what it cost the Father to redeem us so that we could be right with God, so that we could be saved, so that we could be pardoned, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be set free and walk in the same identical life and victory that Jesus Christ purchased for you and I. Sometimes what happens today, the dinner bell is ringing. In other words, it's a wake-up call today, because sometimes life moves so fast that we tend to forget the enormous price that was paid for our redemption. Or we just don't know it. This is why I'm preaching this message, so that you can know it, and for those that do know it are reminded of it. And here is a final reminder of both God's justice and his love. Enjoy this video.